Proverbs 27, verse number 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, not thine own mouth, a stranger, not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous, but who's able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend, thy father's friend, forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. My son, be wise. Make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. We ask Heavenly Father that you'd touch us once again with your word. We thank you for all these practical principles. We pray that we might be reminded of how we ought to behave as children of God. Amen. Again, touch us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I wonder if the Lord, with his perfect record-keeping, will ever tell me how many times I have referred to Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 1. I won't even adventure a guess. And probably the number doesn't matter anyway. But I have referred to it many, many, many times. It contains a very good thought, which almost demands that it be inserted into so many different kinds of messages. I have quoted this verse a great many times, but I have never taken it for my primary text. And we will repair that error here this evening. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now, a good student might be able to go back to chapter 26 and go on in chapter 27 and pull verses out of these chapters and use them as illustrations of the verse, or maybe use them to accentuate the verse. Whosoever diggeth a pit shall fall therein. It may not be today, but it might be tomorrow. So don't boast in either later today or tomorrow. As snow in summer, so honor is not seemly for a fool. You mean it might snow in July? It might snow in July. So don't boast about tomorrow's weather. It may change on you. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the righteous. That righteous judgment or that reward may come tonight while we are sleeping, or it may come tomorrow morning. Boast not thyself tomorrow. You may stand before God before then. Let another man praise thee if it is appropriate. But remember, it may not come. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds, because thou knowest not what a day may bring forth, and your flocks and herds may be scattered tomorrow. Take care of things. This sort of verse-to-verse comparison might be a profitable study, but that's not the direction I'd like to go this evening. We're just going to throw four or five words together, and there's some alliteration involved, but not too difficult to follow. This verse condemns presumption. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Amen. Don't presume to know what will come tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What would it be called? How would we describe it if you knew at this moment exactly what will take place tomorrow at 1:31 in the afternoon? How would you describe that knowledge of yours? Wouldn't it require omniscience to know exactly what is going to take place minute after minute after minute throughout tomorrow or Friday? And who is the only one who possesses omniscience? God, of course. Elohim. Yes. Jehovah God. Doesn't it take just a little presumptuous idolatry to say, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I am. Now, you are usurping God's position in trying to do something like that. Right. We may have hopes about tomorrow. We may have plans for tomorrow. But we have no guarantees of tomorrow. And we certainly don't have any foreknowledge of tomorrow. That belongs to the Lord. And without precise knowledge, there really isn't any room to boast in tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. It is presumption to boast about Thursday. It's presumption to boast about Friday or Saturday. Doesn't boasting imply that we have some control over what will happen tomorrow? Let's say 3:34 in the afternoon. If we're sure that it's going to take place, then it means we're controlling stuff. God can foretell things because he controls those things. It's not just a matter of his knowledge. He does know, but he controls things. Despite people's insistence on personal free will, we have no control of ourselves, let alone other people.
Right.
So if you have an appointment at which you expect to hear some sort of praise from some prominent official at 3:34 tomorrow afternoon, don't boast about that because there may be an accident on the way to that meeting. Or the mayor may have a heart attack and the meeting be canceled. You're not in control of these things. Don't presume to know what will take place tomorrow because you are not God. Pretty simple. It is presumption to assume that we will be alive tomorrow. There were hundreds of people around the world yesterday who had plans for today, and those plans were not kept because they didn't make it through the night. Hundreds of them. It happens all the time. A well-known parallel verse to this is found in James 4. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Come on now, he says. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. It's evil,
Amen.
James says. All such boastings are evil because they presume upon the prerogatives of deity. Amen. If you want to presume something, presume this. God sovereignly controls all things.
Yes, amen.
Now let me spring a new word on you. It's a brand new word. You've not probably never heard this word. This verse condemns precrastination.
Wait a minute.
We all know what procrastination is. I'd define it for you, but I'd prefer to do that later.
Uh-oh.
To procrastinate is to postpone something, to delay in doing something, especially if it's important. We use that word. Ah, you're just procrastinating. It should be done already. This verse doesn't teach us very much about procrastination. We could probably twist some things and apply some things and make a lesson or two there. More to the point is precrastination. If you Google that word, you'll find it, but you may not find it in your old dictionary. It's not a common word, and perhaps it's relatively new. But it means exactly what you would expect it to mean. Procrastination is to delay. Precrastination is to do things ahead of time. To do things ahead of time. And it can be as problematic as its counterpart. Can be. Not necessarily, but it can be. Generally speaking, it's better to take care of today's responsibilities today, and then we'll take care of tomorrow's responsibilities tomorrow. And if we try to draw all those things which we would like to do or need to do tomorrow and try to get them done today, well, sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't work. Procrastination. If tomorrow there is reason to boast, then wait until tomorrow and then boast in it. But don't procrastinate and start your boasting today. You have no guarantee of tomorrow.
Right.
But here's an idea. Why not preface tomorrow or preface tomorrow with a preoccupation of the Lord? The only thing we know with absolute assurance about tomorrow is that Jehovah will be there. The Lord is already present in tomorrow and the day following and the decade following that. Jehovah doesn't occupy time. He is not omni moment by moment. I tried to find a word for it. I couldn't figure out any. He is above time. So at this moment, at this very moment, the Lord is present in tomorrow as well as he is in this moment. He is there.
Amen.
So that means if we want his blessing at 1:31 or 3:34 tomorrow afternoon, it makes sense to lean upon him today, because this is all we've got.
Yes, that's right.
He may be there tomorrow already. We're not. All we have is right now. So why not anticipate tomorrow at 3:34 by leaning on the Lord today? Preoccupation with the Lord. Perhaps tomorrow's appointment is with your dentist. Or your lawyer. Or your mother-in-law. Perhaps you aren't boasting in that appointment. Perhaps it's just the opposite. You may be worrying about that appointment. What's the biblical solution to worry? There may be nothing you can do to prepare for that meeting tomorrow.
Yes.
Nothing at all.
Yes.
You found no solution for that toothache. You're just going to have to expect a drill tomorrow. Or that oral cancer or that lawsuit against you, whatever it is. There's no place to turn at this moment except to the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Who will govern that meeting tomorrow.
Amen.
So why not do just that? And while you're at it, remember that he controls the praises of men as well as the problems that men create. So still, lean upon the Lord. Not only frighten not thyself of tomorrow, but boast not thyself of tomorrow. The best way to approach tomorrow is to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Focus on the Lord, and tomorrow will come under His sovereignty. He'll work it out. Rather than boasting about tomorrow, we should be focusing on the Lord who holds in His hand everything that tomorrow contains.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that we can't prepare for tomorrow. Yeah. Brother Roberts and I were talking about this last weekend. For the first time in the history of our church, we've got a respectable bank account. We spent a lot of money on the electrical system and the air conditioning. And the air conditioning works, I guess. And we have other things in the works, like a sign and other things. There are other things which we could do and perhaps should do around here, but the question has arisen, how much of a balance should we maintain in our bank account? Some people think that we should keep a pretty big bank balance. And other people may think we should have no bank balance at all. We didn't have one for 30 years. Maybe we shouldn't have one at all. We should just trust the Lord to meet our needs. And then, well, just to let you know, Brother Roberts and I were in agreement that there's some place in the middle where we should be. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We may, a tree may blow down. That tree over there might blow down and do a lot of damage. We may need some money to fix that after the insurance and this and that and the other thing. I would be embarrassed to stand before the Lord at the Bema and confess that we were hoarding a great deal of money just in case we might need it down the road. Don't think that would be good. But boasting not in ourselves, our wisdom, our health, or our bank account doesn't mean that we shouldn't make plans for what might happen tomorrow. So long as our boasting is in the Lord and not in ourselves, preparations are not out of place. Some people think that life insurance is a sin. Life insurance is a lack of faith that God will take care of our relatives after we are gone. Yeah. I suppose that an excessive life insurance policy would be sin and a lack of faith. And of course, it would be sin to take the Lord's money to buy that insurance. It's the Lord's money. There needs to be some sort of balance. And every man is responsible for God for his determination on that balance. There are a number of professing Christians, I'll put that in quotations, there are a number of professing Christians at the gym that I go to every morning. I can tell by the t-shirts that some of them have. I've seen one at Real Life once before, and other things that I hear from time to time. And I can picture two of them in particular who work out very hard at the gym. I mean, they really push themselves. We hardly ever say anything more than hello to one another. And usually it's just a nod and a smile. That's about the extent of it. But I have often wanted to ask these two people in particular why it is that they push themselves so hard. They're professing Christians. Why are they pushing themselves so hard? I go to the gym to exercise my heart and lungs. I go to help work on my cholesterol. I go there to stir a few endorphins within my brain. I go there to help manage my weight to some degree. I don't go to the gym to become a bodybuilder. I don't go there to tear apart my t-shirts with bulging muscles. I don't go there to impress anyone. I will never boast myself in what shape my body will be tomorrow. But at the same time, I'm not planning on quitting anytime soon either. I can honestly say I go to the gym to serve the Lord. I'm not boasting in tomorrow, but through exercise, I am preparing for tomorrow. This verse adds another piece of alliteration, which perhaps isn't a part of the main emphasis of the verse. Pregnant, or pregant, if you like. Perhaps this point should have been our first one, but it logically follows everything else. Boast not thyself in tomorrow, of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Bring forth is a very common Hebrew word. About 500 times it is used. Bring forth is the translation about 25 times. But close to 200 times it is translated bear or born. However, the most common translation is beget or begat. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may begat or produce. You could say that today is pregnant with tomorrow's baby. You may wake up refreshed and rejuvenated tomorrow morning, but some of the effects of today will be there when you wake up. You may be waking up tired, or there may be emotions that you've carried through the night, or a physical pain, or even a spiritual something or other. Going back to my experience at the gym, one young lady, who, as far as I know, is not a Christian, she's never even nodded at me. We haven't smiled at one another. She's been going there for several years. One young lady who's been working out there for several years is now expecting. I've never seen her use any equipment other than two of these cardio machines that we have there. She's not trying to become a famous female bodybuilder. She is not trying to get to the point where she can curl 200 pounds or anything like that. She is simply trying to stay healthy, and now that she's expecting, maybe there's even more incentive. Amen. Today is pregnant with tomorrow's baby. And as such, we need to take care of ourselves today. We need to feed on the best nutrition because our baby's health tomorrow depends on it. We need to feast on the Word of God.
Yes,
we need to devour the preaching of the Word.
Yes.
We need the fellowship of God's saints. We need to take care of ourselves. And we need to avoid those things which could poison our systems and harm that baby which will be born tomorrow. Sins like boasting in ourselves, or even boasting in our unborn. Just a little idolatry today could produce a miscarriage or a deformed child tomorrow. Remember, bringing that baby into the world might require our care for the rest of our lives. There are consequences to what we do. That baby that's born tomorrow may be a weight upon our soul for the rest of our lives. Our sins produce a future which will enslave us, perhaps. Boast not thyself in tomorrow, of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Does Ecclesiastes 5:11 apply here? Or 11:5, excuse me. Ecclesiastes 11:5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. What is the Lord doing tomorrow? We'll just have to go tomorrow and see. Leave tomorrow in the hands of the expert. There's only one expert in tomorrow. That is the Lord. Don't boast in tomorrow. Don't fear tomorrow either, if you're a child of God. Prepare as best you can and leave the rest in God's hands. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.